Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Jehovah Jireh International Institution
originated and where our live classes are being broadcast from. We want you to know today that this is a great time, a great opportunity for you to take advantage of what God has given you and what God has put on the inside of you. And if you are saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Word of God says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It is a demand. It is a command for us to go forth unto the harvest, to be able to win souls for the kingdom of God. You know, our commission, when we think about a commission, just think about this. I would like to read for you today. It reads as, give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath, a call to conquest or to death, a word to arouse the church from rest, to heed the master's highest behest. The call is given, ye hosts arise. The watchword is evangelize. To fallen men, a dying race, make known the gift of gospel grace. The world that now in darkness lies, O church of Christ, evangelize. And it is so important for the church, for the body of Christ to evangelize. For the Word of God says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And because of the fact that we are living in a day, in a time, that we need to have more compassion and more concern for the people that God have created, for the people that are not saved. Yes, even to the backsliders, we need to have a greater concern for them. So tonight, we want you to think about what kind of compassion and what kind of concern do you have for the lost, and to know how a commission, what God has given us. And I believe that if we can have more compassion for the lost, it won't be a big deal. It won't be a difficult thing. It will be an easy thing for us to go and to evangelize. Well, in 1978, in the Los Angeles hillside, there was a hillside strangler who took 13 females' lives in 5 months. That is a lot of women. That is a lot of human waste lives that were taken. One of the most publicized victims was a young call girl. She was heard, this girl was heard screaming in the apartment. She'd been taken by him. She was heard screaming by neighbors who just literally, they felt like they could jump out of their chair. They never even bothered to call the police or get involved. Later on, a man at a motel and saw another man carrying out over his shoulder a woman's body wrapped in a blanket, placing her in a car and driving off. He had decided he'll drive off. He didn't bother to call. No one bothered to even call the police or to tell anyone. He chose rather to mind his own business. There was someone that seen what was happening at that time, when the man had carried this same woman in a blanket over his shoulder and placed her in a car and had decided he'll drive off with this woman. But no one thought it necessary to call for help. And is that the call But today, is that the way it is today, that nobody cares what happened to another human being? Is that not what has happened, that we don't care what's happening to an individual that is on their way to hell? Do we not care that the harvest is so plentiful and we won't go into the harvest and win more soul for the kingdom of God? If others were only as concerned about the immortal soul as we are about our own, I believe that more people would be saved. There was a prisoner in London, and this is what he told a preacher. He once told a preacher, he said, "Mister, if I believe this gospel, you say that you believe," he said, "I'll crawl across England on my knees over broken glass to get the message out." If we really believe what we're saying, we're doing a lot of talking, but do we believe what we are saying? And when I thought about what the prisoner said to the man of God, if I believe that, like you said, that you believe the gospel, he said that he would crawl across England on his knees over broken glass to get the message out. And I believe that that's something that we ought to and that we ought to praise and that we ought to think about, because of the fact that if we really believe the gospel, what would stop us from winning more souls to the kingdom of God? What would cause us to not to go into the hedges and the highways and to compel others to come in? What fireman that sees a house on fire and goes up and quickly knocks twice and then, not wanting to disturb the sleeping tenders, drive back to the fire station and smugly tells the fire chief, "Mission accomplished. I politely knocked twice, didn't disturb the tenant, caused a commotion, didn't want to cause a commotion, act like a fanatic, or otherwise interfere in the lives of the family. What more could I have done?" Could you understand what we're saying and why we're saying what we say here at the Jehovah Jireh International Institution? Why is it important for believers to get in a hurry? Those that say that they love God, those that are saved, that they're concerned about souls for the kingdom. If we were like the fireman and we were like him, there will be many souls that will be lost, because we are afraid of what the person on the inside, that person that's not, if we go and we try to tell them about Christ, we're not just a knock on the door. And it was a fire. This is the illustration he was given. If you see a fire in a house and you don't just politely knock on the door because of the fact you don't want to alarm them, it's time to sound the alarm. You're not concerned whether or not if there is a fire, that they're going to get angry with you. You're not concerned that the person is going to come and tell you, "Man, stop knocking on my door." No, if they're asleep in the house and don't know that there's a fire in the house, then they're going to greatly appreciate you for the love of God on the inside, for warning them, for getting them out of the fire. And that's the same way it is, I believe, comparing our relationship with Christ and our relationship with those that are not saved, that if we can just tell them that there is a fire and that you got to get out, you got to get prepared, you got to open the door, you got to come out, you got to come out of darkness, you got to come out into the marvelous light. Do you understand what I'm saying, students? Because of the fact that God, he came to seek and to save them that are lost. When we look at the word of God, when we look at the woman in John, the fourth chapter, Jesus broke all the religious taboos when he went and he sat with the Samaritan woman. And he came there for a purpose. Remember in the fourth chapter of John, you remember that? You remember how Jesus had to go to see about, go to Samaritan, and when he had gone, that he, this woman, this Samaritan woman, was there drawing water, and he asked her for some water. She was surprised that he was talking to her, because he knew, she knew that the Samaritan and the Jews, that they had no dealing with one another. And when Jesus asked her to give him some water, she was surprised. She was alarmed that he asked water from her, being a Samaritan. But Jesus was concerned not about her culture, not about her skin, not about her color, but where she came from or what job she had. He came on a mission. He came that this woman could receive Christ in her life, that her life could change. He knew that this woman's life needs to change. And when he spoke to her and when he asked her for that water, she observed that Jesus didn't have anything to draw with. So Jesus said that he would, if she would have asked him, he would give her that living water. But yet, this woman didn't know that she was talking to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Didn't know that she was talking to the Master. I'm kind of bringing it where you are tonight that you can really think about what I'm saying. How far would you go in order to win a soul for the kingdom of God? How far would you go in order to change a person's life? So today, we're going to talk about this on tonight in our live class discussion. And we're going to go to Evangelist William, and we're going to ask Evangelist William to comment on what we were saying on tonight, because it's time for us to get out of our comfort zone. If we talked about earlier, all these people was in their comfort zone. How about this man that knew that this murderer had killed 13 young women? And at that time, so happened he had come to a place where that he murdered another person and heard the girl screaming for her life. People around about them heard this dreadful screaming. I need to bring that home to you. And nobody did anything. And that is what we're seeing today. There are people's lives being taken and nobody taken. There are not many people, shall I say, are taking note as to what is happening. If somebody would just heard that when that first scream came and called the police, or called the neighbor, or let's get a group of people to go over and let's go and see about this young woman that is this dreadful screamer that I'm quite sure that all of them heard, but they didn't take a move. They knew that they was uncomfortable with it, but yet they did not take that opportunity, save her life. And that's the same thing that's happened at this day and time, we know people are dying. We know people are at risk in certain different things that they're doing, in drugs, alcohol, homosexuality, all these things, lesbianism, all of these things. But we don't do anything. We don't say anything, you know. And that's why this person was able to get away with a crime, because they said nothing. And that's how the enemy coming in to steal, to kill, and destroy, because we are saying nothing in order to turn these the people that are in a stage of committing these sins, and people that are taking people's lives. We do nothing. We say nothing. And we don't take the opportunity to reach them. And that's why it's important that we talk about this at Jehovah Jireh, so that the nation of people will know where we're coming from. So let's go to Evangelist Williams at this time, so we can hear what God has given her on today. Evangelist Williams.
Good afternoon, Dr. McCoy, and all of our listeners. First of all, let me thank God for this broadcast. Let me thank God for Blog Talk Live, for Jehovah Jireh, and for Dr. McCoy following her commission that God has given her. Dr. McCoy, she brought out at the very beginning, she was talking about this prisoner that committed these terrible crimes. And most of us know, if we turn a television on today, some of us can walk right outside of your front door and you can see these things still happening all around us, you know, even more so. And that's why it is such an emergency. As I might quote, it's a 911. That we get in a hurry and we do what Jesus Christ has commissioned us to do, because time is winding up and these things are happening. It's no new thing. It's not nothing that we should be unaware of, because Jesus already told us, you know, God's word clearly states that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And even as the time passes, things are not getting better. They are getting worse. So that's why it is so important for us to get in a hurry. The devil is moving. He's on a rampage. He's moving as fast as he can go, because his time is winding up. So we have got to get to the frame of mind that time is winding up. Why? Because Jesus is so soon to come, and people are leaving here. They're leaving not slowly, but they're leaving quickly. You know, people are leaving by the dozens. People are leaving. I said on my broadcast, it's a sad thing, but not just adults. Children are dying and leaving here. So it's important that a lot of times, even when we go witnessing, I'm mindful of the fact that a lot of times we just witness to adults. But if you look at the ratio, the children are in need of some answers as well, even the teenagers, you know, your young adults as well. And it's important that we get in a hurry and we go forth, because you look at the young people that are grabbing guns and going into the schools, are going on people's jobs or wherever it is, they're just shooting and killing people. We don't even have to go as far as another nation. We can look right in our own hometown. At the rate that the murders and the killings and the suicides are, at the rate that these things are happening, that means that we should be going even that much more. You know, when Jesus called his disciples to him, before he sent them out, I just want to throw this in, before he sent his disciples forth, he taught them, he equipped them. Well, that's what's happening with Dr. McCoy right now. She's got this special class going on, and she's got Blog Talk Radio going on. God have given her a mandate, and she's not just sitting on it thinking about it. She's doing it. And there are those of us that are on the other end, we're listening in and even giving input. We need to know that we've got to get busy. You know, we cannot just wait on somebody else to do it. There's an old wives' tale about, you know, if you don't do it, you know, it's not going to get done. So at the end of the day, when Jesus gave his commission to his disciples, he told them to go ye therefore and teach all nations, and not just teach all nations, but as you go teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus said, I have commanded you. And Jesus reassured us that we were not going to be alone as we go forth. As he reassured his disciples, he's saying the same thing to us. He said, and Lord, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So now is the day of salvation. We've got to go and pull other souls from the hellfire. And, you know, in the past, in the class, and I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy, but in the past few lessons we've had, we talked about personal evangelism. We're talking about witnessing. We're talking about sharing Jesus effectively. We're talking about people that are willing to go, people that are willing to be obedient to the commission, obedient to the call, obedient to the command as a born-again believer, people that are willing to know that God teaches us love, because God is love. He's all about love. And because he's all about love and he lives inside of us, we've got to love people. And when you see people, even on today, I was in Walmart, long story short, and I saw a young lady and a young man, and they had piercings from their head to the toe. Something I've never seen in my whole life. Piercing that was unbelievable. Something like out of space or something. And I asked the young lady, I said, why did you inflict all of that pain on your body? And she says, well, I just thought it was cool. And I just thought that, you know, I feel like a celebrity because everybody's looking. Well, a lot of people are looking on saying that's ignorant, that's foolish. Well, in between the conversation, I open up a door long enough to tell the young lady that Jesus Christ is soon to come. And just an example, you know, a lot of times we can just break out a conversation with people in the grocery store or on the job or wherever you are, just long enough to let them know that it's time to have a right relationship with God. And I agree with Dr. McCoy. It's a 911. It's an emergency. God has saved us. He has delivered us. Now he have ordained us to go forth and win souls for the kingdom. So yes, just as that prisoner murdered all those women, people are doing it every day in our very neighborhoods, right here in the city or whatever town you're listening from. I know it's happening in your town because the devil is a spirit and he's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, we want to point people to Jesus. We want to let them know that they don't have to go to a lake of fire, that God loves them so much, that God has a prepared place for a prepared people. Back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Evangelist William. When I think about the Word of God, when we look at Isaiah 56 and 10, and that verse says, his watchmen are blind. We're going to be watchmen. The watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Does that indicate, does that show us how many people are out of step, out of line, and relaxing and sleeping on the job, and how they are not touching the untouchables and reaching those for the kingdom of God. It's time for us to touch the untouchables. And I just want to say this before we go to Evangelist Hooper, and that is, when did the last time that we shared Christ with touching the untouchables? Do you not remember that Jesus broke all the religious taboos when we met, when I was saying before how you met with the woman at the well, that Samaritan woman? Think about that. How about when he defended the adultery, that woman that was caught in the act of adultery? This is touching the untouchables. This is reaching out, just like Evangelist William was saying about the young lady, you know, that had all the rings and a piercing all over her. These are people that somebody will talk about, but not really reach the innermost part of her soul to let her know that Jesus loves her. And she thought that she would be like a celebrity, that somebody would pay attention. And that just let you know that she wanted somebody to pay attention to her, to know that she's there, to know that I'm here, that I'm alive, and you're not going to pay attention to me. In one way, I'm going to show you, I'm going to bring attention to myself in this way. How about when Jesus touched the leper and how he even healed on the Sabbath day, when they said that you don't do all that on the Sabbath day, when Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And even when he went to that tax collector that supposedly ripped off a lot of people, like and he was Republican and a notorious sinner. A lot of people don't like him. You got a name behind you. You may be a drunkard, an alcoholic, a lesbian, a liar, a cheater, whatever it may be. You know, so many things that it is. But when you look at it, it's all sin. It's all sin. If you cheat, if you lie, it's all sin. If you're not living according to God's word, then you know that you are a sinner. But as touching on what the word has said unto us, it let us know that today there are many churchgoers consider their full duty of evangelism is merely inviting neighbors to church to come hear a celebrity, or to see the world long as banana split, or to visit a movie, or to win a raffle, things like that. Many believers in paying tithe, attending service, and occasion suppers and rummage sales, bingo and raffles, dances, golf, softball, bowling, bird watching, alcohol, but that just won't feel mankind spiritually. It leaves a spiritually bored, or it meets a quiet need of the hour. Only soul winners will quench the deep spiritual thirst to see the God of God in action out where the action is. And that's why it was so important when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell Nineveh, and warn them and let them know that he was going to destroy Nineveh. And remember, he didn't want to go. He knew how sinful those people was and the things that they did. But we're not judges. We are one that God has sent to the hedges and the highway. He didn't want to go because he didn't really want them to be saved. But when God dealt with him, he decided that he was going to go. He was glad to go. He got that quicker than he thought he would ever get there. And he was able to warn the people, and they was able to repent of their sin. I believe that we need to get in a hurry. I don't think that we ought to be in the same mentality that Jonah was in, playing with God, when God told him to go. And just like he tell all believers to go into the hedges and the highway, go into the world. Come on. It's so important because why? People are dying. What about the plane with the 200-something people in? All of those people died all at one time. And how many of them were saved? There are things happen consistently around the world. And it is up to us not to wait till tomorrow, but it has to be today. Now is the time of salvation, and we need to get in a hurry. We need to touch the untouchable and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important here at Jehovah Jireh International that we make a difference, that we lift the name of Jesus up, that we tell people who Jesus is and what Jesus can do in their life and what Jesus has already did in our lives. The word of God said, if he be lifted up, he said that he will do the drawing. Let's go to evangelist Helen Hooper as she let us know what God has put upon her heart on today. Evangelist Helen Hooper.
Listeners, and I was just listening to the panel and Dr. McCoy speaking, and that is something that is really close to my heart. When you go out and you evangelize to people, I call it in the field, and I call it God's foot soldiers. We need more of God's foot soldiers to come out of the churches and to get into the streets and like the hedges and the highways. You say compel them to come, go into the hedges and the highway. There are so many young men, young people that are dying in the streets, and we see it on the news in Duval County alone, all the violence and that we feel in the streets with young men and young people. So we need to, whatever God has applied to your hands, if you don't know what that is, you need to get with God and see what he has applied to your hands, because there is someone that you can reach that is not going to come to the church door, that God has given you a prayer for their family, he's given you a prayer for their situation. You hold some people's victories in your hand, and you're not reaching those people because most of the time we're not paying attention, and we're not being obedient to God. Some people don't want to get their hands dirty, per se. I talk to a lot of people that have been saved, a lot of ministers, a lot of pastors, whatever, have been saved for years, but they're comfortable and they've gotten complacent and they've forgot about God's people that are out in the streets. We need to do outreach. We need to go out and evangelize, because everybody doesn't want to be in the streets. Everybody doesn't want to be a sinner. Some people just don't know how to get to God. Some people don't know how to get back to God. They were raised in the church. They were raised in the godly way, but they don't know how to get back to him. So we need to get back to God's business. That means going in the hedges and the highways. I get a chance to talk to a lot of people and a lot of young men in the area of town that I work in, some of the low-income communities in Jacksonville, and I find that people just don't know. They need the word of God. They're hungry for the word of God. And sometimes we look at people and we judge them and think, oh, you know, they want to be that way. They don't want to be that way. But you won't find that out until you get out and you talk to him. I heard Dr. McCauley saying about when they bought the lady that was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus was not in, he was not in the temple. He was out in the open with the people. He was with, even when he healed a woman with the issue of blood, he was out among the people. He wasn't in the temple. He was out where the work was needed to be done. And there was so much work needed to be done these days. It's like the Joshua generation is getting lost somewhere because we're not out on the streets and we're not going out to compel God's people. I don't care who they are. They still belong to God, and we need to be concerned about that soul that's out on the street, that's not coming to church, the backslider, everybody we need to be concerned about, because they are God's people, and some people have just been applied to your hands, and you're not doing what God would have you to do. You have to check yourself daily. I check myself daily to make sure that I'm on the right path, that what God, I'm listening to his voice. I'm listening intently to his voice, because I know where I work, even though sometimes it is a challenge for me to be there, but I know God has me there for a reason. There are some people, there are some young women, there are some young men that I have to touch their lives. I have to tell them what thus says the Lord. I have to give them the Word of God. Some of them really, they're hungry for God's Word. And when you talk to them, they're just sitting there intently listening because that's what they need to compel them to come to God. It's not about any of us. So I was thinking the other day, I'm like, all this violence that we have going on the streets here in Jacksonville, and there's a lot of people that can help. There's a lot of people that has the people ear, I will say, that we can get a work done in the street. Because we actually, God's people need to get in a hurry because it's late in the evening and it's going to get later. After a while, it's going to be night and we're not going to be able to do anything. The streets of Jacksonville is erupted with violence. There is a spirit of death that is walking. The death angel is walking. He's walking with our youth. We need to be on the streets just putting God's word out there, compelling them to come to the Lord. And that is the way we're going to change communities. But I was just listening to everybody talk, and it is so true. Night is about here. God is not going to tarry for very long. Just because we haven't done what he's applied to our hands, that is not going to stop his coming. He's not going to tarry for very much longer, and we need to do what we need to do to build his kingdom, to bring people into the kingdom so they can get into the kingdom of heaven. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Elizabeth Hooper, and all so true and so well said by Evangelist Hooper and Evangelist William. And it's so important that we be about our Father's business to touch the untouchables, love the unlovable. We got some people that are not lovable, but some people that don't want to be loved. You got to love the unlovable enough in order to want to get them saved and their lives change, and for them to be those new creatures in Christ Jesus, that old things can pass away and all things can become new. As Jesus, he went after the untreatable, it seems like, and the unwinnable. And they followed him. You know, they followed him. And they because why? They see that there was a difference. Why? Because they knew that Jesus loved them. Why? Because Jesus came after them. They wasn't waiting. He wasn't waiting for them to come to him, but he was after them. Now picture this. A young girl, 18 years old, had shot drugs for 6 years, and she was ready to commit a suicide with her drug-dealing boyfriend. That's why we need to go out and be fishers of men, to be an ambassador for Christ. In Tulsa Assembly Center, it was 8,000 kids, and they was wildly chanting, "Hail Lucifer," to a 30-by-30-foot picture of Satan behind a black Sabbath. Don't we realize that it is time for us to do something and stop doing nothing and get off the padded seats and to get off of the road that we're sitting on, give it a rest, go out and to be a ambassador, a witness, a fisherman of men, to be the men and women of God that God is calling for. Yes, they are girls and boys, and they are men and women that need Jesus Christ. That woman at the well needed Jesus Christ. That woman that was sick, that had the issue of blood, she needed Christ. That woman that was caught in adultery, she needed Christ. The woman that the man that they didn't call his name when they caught the woman in the act of adultery, they didn't say too much about him, but he needed Jesus Christ as well. So therefore, it's time for us to go about and be about our Father's business. Imagine this, a confused young man who was forced to do homosexual acts with his father from his childhood up. We can't really, a long time ago, imagine things of that happening, but now it's getting so that these things are happening consistently. They're happening to children, Sometimes we expect these things to happen with other people in our community and people that we don't know, but these things that happen right in the home with the parents that God allowed for them to come through their lawns, and for people that were able to plant that seed, and yet the man, this man having sex with his own child from the time that the child was of age. And what is age? What is it? For he forced his own child to do homosexual acts with the father. And a young man had to leave in a rock concert. He was so drunk that he drove at 30 miles per hour into a light pole and emerged with his blood streaming down his face. I'm trying to bring you where it is and where the realness of things are, and why it is so needful for you to hear what God has given us at Jehovah Jireh and the national institution, because we got to go where it is. We got to let you see as it is. We got to draw that picture. We got to show you the word of God. We got to show you what God's word is saying this day and this hour. Well, it was a young lady. She was dancing topless, and a soul winner was telling the manager, what would a mother say if this child mother would see her dancing as topless in that type of place? And a woman that came out of the dark, out of the color of the darkness, and she said, I am the girl's mother. What can I do for you? In other words, she knew that the daughter was there. She knew she was a topless dancer. She was allowed her to dance as a topless dancer. She apparently was one herself and did not care enough to not want to see her child, her blood, the one that she birthed, the one that she held in her arms, the one that she was able to nurse. She didn't care about her enough than to tell her the truth, to not to let her stay in that dark life. What are we going to do in order to make a difference? And get this. It was a young man, a young fellow, vomiting and ripping a satanic star and change from off of his neck. And that's how sometimes people do off things that are not right, because of the fact the devil, the enemy, Satan, has gotten in the middle of it and caused them to do these things that they do, when you know that the enemy is inside of them. When they began to chant all of these songs and do these dances and bow down to Satan, we know that the enemy is coming behind. But I don't believe when you be looking, if you look at a person and somebody said, well, you know, this person, Satan doesn't have that person. Well, Jesus came to seek and to save them that are lost. And they don't have to stay in the condition that they're in. Don't we realize that there are many unbelievers, the people that didn't believe in Christ, that have come unto the knowledge of Christ Jesus. They have given their lives to Christ. They were once atheists, but yet they came to Christ. And these people, as long as they're breathing, as long as they have life in them, that we could do something about it. But first, we have to examine our own self to see how saved we are, how sanctified we are, how clean and holy are we, how concerned we are about souls that need to be saved. Do we want to just walk this life out, the thing out, and just to save our own self and not to save somebody else? No, we need to be able to reach out into the hedges and to the highway. And then there was a 13-year-old girl, and she went out on her own, and both of her parents was alcoholic, and let her go and let her do anything that she wanted to do. She stayed out all night alone without God, our friend. And we need to be able to witness. We need to be able to tell that person that Jesus loves you and that he cares about you. You don't have to stay out at night. You don't have to do the things that you're doing because Jesus, he cares and he loves you. And let me show you how much that he loves you. And we ought to be able to tell them how much Jesus loves them and how much Jesus cares about them. Because the word of God says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as students of Jehovah Jireh International Institution, as listeners of Jehovah Jireh International Institution, it's time for us to do more than we have done. It's time for us to be serious about our stand for Christ on today. Today is the day of salvation. We can't wait till tomorrow and say, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll wait for somebody else to do it because somebody else may not do it. It's time for us to do what needs to be done this day and this hour in order to get more people into the kingdom of God. The word says in Matthew 28 and 19, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. And then when we look at Mark 10, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every creature. Jesus called his people. He called us the salt of the earth. He called us the light of the world. And he said, a city that is built on a hill for all men to see. It is only when the universal salvation of God is personalized that becomes effective and meaningful in one's life. Even so, it is for Christ's great commission. It is only when we go ye, as Christ commanded us to go. And you may say, go me? Yes, go you. If you have a good, if you claim that you have a good, it is for you. Answer the call to go. Tonight, we talked about the commission. And I would like to just tell you one more time, the commission. Think about the commission. God has commissioned all of us to go into the hedges and go into the highway. I would like to leave you with this. Give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath, a call to conquer or to death, a word to arouse the church from rest, to heed the master hath beset. The call is given, ye hosts arise. The watchword is evangelize. Did you get that? The watchword is evangelize. To fallen men, a dying race, make known the gift of gospel grace. The world that now in darkness lies, O Church of Christ, evangelize. We would like to thank the Most High God for giving us, again, the opportunity to be able to reach the nation for Christ. We'd like to thank Evangelist Pandamia Williams and Evangelist Helen Hooper for once again sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. For once again, crying loud and sparing not, having a voice to speak to the nation, a voice to warn the people, and you as people of God, you as students, you as believers, we have the opportunity each day of our lives to deliver somebody from hell. We have the opportunity to deliver a person from out of the fire, the example that we have given before, not to be like the police officer. And it was just a powerful example. But no fireman going to go to a house that's on fire and just patty-pitty-pat on the door. And they're not going to be afraid and to arouse those that are sleeping, because while they're asleep, they're helpless, and they're going to burn up. Many people are walking. They're sleepwalking, and they need to wake up. The enemy has made them senseless. Come on. Have caused them to not want to hear, and their ears are hard of hearing. So therefore, we need to go forth, and we need to make a difference and wake them up. And the church need to be, number one, need to be awakened so that we won't be sleeping at the wheel, so that we will wake up, that we will not be lost and cause other people's lives to be lost as well. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another class. We thank you, God, for another online class on tonight, and for those, God, that you have ordained to be able to hear and heed the call. For your word says that the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Father, we pray even now, and we ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus for not heeding to the call. And God, be as Jonah's word when you call him to go unto Nineveh, and to denying the call and not listening and not going forth. And God, make many of excuses why we cannot go forth and why we cannot win souls for the kingdom of God. Our prayer to you tonight, God, that you'll wake up the sleeping church, that you'll wake up, because, God, we're not talking about the voice and we're not talking about the breath, but when the word of God comes within us, then we are that church, because we realize that the church, the bricks, the stone, the wood, can't take a walk, can't go into the hedges and the highways. But we can. The bricks and the stone cannot talk, but God, we can. So, Father, we ask thee in the name of Jesus to touch us today and to make us, Father God, greater fishermen, better ambassadors. Father, we ask thee, God, to do it even now. And God bless, Father God, those that have taken the opportunity from city to city, from state to state, and have listened to Jehovah Jireh International Institution and have taken heed and have gone, and that will begin to walk the walk. And God, that they'll go forth for you. And God, that they will be able to multitude of fishes. Father, I ask you, God, to do it even now. Bless those that have infirmities, cause healing to be manifested. God, give us the effort, increase our faith even the more, that we will be used for the upbuilding of that kingdom and tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. And this we bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have been listening to Jehovah Jireh International Institution, our Monday night live class. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend that Jehovah Jireh International, you want to share with them, that you want them to listen, and that they too can be able to be, to gain the knowledge and to get wisdom as God wants to give to them, that they can into the harvest and win more souls in this day and this time. May God bless you, and may his face shine upon you, and we're looking forward to seeing our Monday night class on next Monday. It's our prayer.